people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also what things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. I'm enjoying my tea this morning, which, if you didn't hear, is hibiscus, the petals, not the whole flower, Turk's cap. And with Turk's cap, you can use the fruit and the flowers, and all but the green base part in that case. Honey is in there, and then a big old handful of peppermint. Mine is kind of it's a chocolate peppermint. It has a real nice flavor. I think that's one you'll enjoy, so give it a try. This hour is brought to you by the Dirt Doctor books. There's about 16 of them or so. The latest one is on organic lawn care, and you may want to check that out. A lot of questions on lawn care, what to do at this time of the year. I know that some of the people out there, that advisors, are saying that it's once you get to September the 1st, and especially September the 15th, it's too late to plant solid sod. I don't believe that at all, including St. Augustine grass. People in the landscape industry and golf course superintendents basically, with some exception in really super cold parts of the country, plant all winter long. And the fall is a great time to plant and get some things going. This is the time for the final fertilization of the year. If you want to use corn gluten meal, you're probably a little bit late. September the 15th would have been the ideal date. That's just a best guess by everybody. It still functions as a very good organic fertilizer. But if the weed seed have already germinated, the fall, the cool season weeds, if they've already germinated, the corn gluten meal won't stop them. In fact, it'll just make them get bigger. So you make the choice. The corn gluten meal will be more expensive than some of the other organic fertilizers, the blend products. You can use dry molasses as an organic fertilizer application. You can spray real heavily and drench the soil with the Garrett Juice product. And by the way, there's something on Facebook you may want to take a look at. I put the three commercial versions of Garrett Juice, photographs of them on there, Nature's Guide, the Medina product, and then the new Maestro Grow product, and a little brief explanation of each one. Basically, Nature's Guide's the original formula. The Medina product is Garrett Juice Plus, which contains fish, and then the one that's called Maestro Grow, Garrett Juice Pro, that's the one that contains microorganisms, the beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus. And then, of course, the last reference is to the formula that's on dirtdoctor.com all the time about how you can make your own. Whether you want to make a ready-to-use mixture of Garrett Juice or whether you want to do a concentrate and go that route. And some commercial people make their own. It's not something that's just for homeowners. I mean, there's some commercial people that put together, and farmers and ranchers, I guess, in some cases, too, they put together these sprays and end up basically building Garrett Juice. The people that make a mistake out there are the ones that still spray seaweed or fish or a combination of fish and seaweed or a combination of molasses and some of those things, and think that's the best spray, and it's not. Without vinegar in it, it's not Garrett Juice, and it won't function as well. It's been really interesting to me to watch the people that seem to think that seaweed and molasses, or seaweed and fish and molasses, is fine and dandy and all that you need. That vinegar is important stuff, and we've proven that time and time again. So if you buy a commercial liquid product that doesn't have vinegar in it, add apple cider vinegar to it so that when you spray it or drench it, there's about an ounce of it per gallon of water. Unless, like one of the previous callers in the first hour, you're trying to lower the pH because of take-all patch or whatever the issue is, you can kick the level of vinegar on up. Some people that have contaminated well water, or they have water that's even city water that's got some kind of chemical imbalance in it. One of the great buffering tools you can use in your water is vinegar, and especially if it's salty, alkaline, you know, high pH kind of water. There's nothing better for it that you can use. Using the whole Garrett juice as a buffering when you're not for drinking, but for watering your or planting, whether it's vegetables, herbs, landscaping, or whatever, that's a great thing to do, too. And you can inject it into the water, or you can just spray it in addition to the irrigation, and you can counteract any salting or any imbalance of the chemistry of the water that you might have with the liquid applications of this stuff we call Garrett juice, this mixture called Garrett juice. Let's see, there was one other thing I was going to tell you about, too. Oh, we had a question early in the last hour about, well, in the middle of the last hour, about false onions. And what do you do with them? How do you get rid of them? The chemical people would tell you to spray 2,4-D, a broadleaf herbicide to kill false anything, you know, in the landscape turf. The broadleaf plants and the onions would be in that category. 2,4-D is cancer-causing, and it's absolutely been proven, especially directly at pets, dogs and cats. The vets that, you know, are thinking about it at all will tell you in great detail. There's all kind of research and papers that back it up. So don't think that using 2,4-D to get rid of something like that, I should have mentioned it while we were talking about it, is an acceptable thing. It is just not. Margaret is still with us in Centerville, and want to talk about Kentucky Coffee Tree. Hi, Margaret.
Yes, and Trees Beyond. I'm glad you're talking about trees today. And before that, I will say I've always heard that chinaberry trees are toxic, but I don't know beyond that why.
Well, we've got some, as you've heard today, there's some question marks about it. In some cases, it seems to be very effective on grasshoppers, and then used in other ways, it doesn't seem to be so much.
Mm-hmm. What I've always thought was the berries, but I don't know. But I am looking at acquiring trees that I don't have, and ones that would grow in the East Texas sand and be drought tolerant and be pretty. And I've never seen a Kentucky coffee tree, so that's why I wanted to ask. But I understand that it has pink tinged leaves at a certain time of year.
I've never noticed that. They may be that way when they first come out, but it's a tree that's pretty. We've got one growing pretty near our home in Lakewood that's probably 25 feet tall or so, and there's a few that are a little bit bigger than that. When you see one without looking closely, you'd probably think it was an ash tree. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has compound leaves, you know, it's kind of frilly looking. It's not as dark a green as the chinaberry. And it does have bean pods. It has a seed in those pods that are actually roasted, and you can make a drink out of them.
Oh, really?
That's where the name has come from, the coffee tree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that the beans are poisonous before roasting them. So it's one of those things kind of like poke salad, you know, that's a little bit of a questionable thing about how cavalier you ought to be about it. It is primarily, it's native to the United States, but it's native more to the Midwest. Down here in the South, and I've seen this on the one near us, tends to get a little dry and a little yellow in it and stressed in the real strong heat of the summer. It lacks probably a little bit more moisture and prefers a little bit better soil than we have. The big rub on it that I've noticed in doing a little research about Kentucky coffee tree is that it tends to come out a little later than other trees, and it tends to have its fall color, which is yellow, and sometimes not very spectacular, kind of early. So the net effect of that is that you have almost a half a year of no foliage.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so that's the biggest negative about it. I think that it's a pretty tree, though, and probably should be used more. But it's part of the forest in the Midwestern part of the United States.
Mm-hmm. What about a golden rain tree? I like the pink pods of it.
They are pretty. That's an introduced. That's an introduced tree from Asia, and it's pretty. I don't mind it at all. I haven't planted any, and I wouldn't design a whole lot of them in because I don't think it's an extremely long lived tree.
Uh-huh.
But it's pretty good, especially in our area through Zone 8. I think it's a good choice for an ornamental tree with some color in the spring, and then, like you say, from the pods. Margaret, let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I've got to run here for a minute. Those of you wanting to get in with a question, just give me a call at 866-444-3478.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to VictorDogFood.com. That's VictorDogFood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Open line at 866-444-3478. I promised Margaret to talk to her off the air. I promised to talk a little bit more about a couple of trees she was interested in, tulip trees and catalpa, which I will do in just a second. But right now, Pat in Dallas apparently has some information for me. Hi, Pat.
Good morning.
How are you?
You are in for a real treat if you go up to the Crystal Bridges Museum.
In Arkansas. I've heard nothing but rave reviews about the place.
I told the screener, the setting is absolutely breathtaking.
Cool.
It's a creek, runs through. Go in and Google Crystal Bridges Museum, and it will tell you all about it. And so forth and so on. The restaurant there is awesome in design, and the food is wonderful, too.
That's great. I did that. I pulled that up, and I was a little curious about where you would recommend staying around the area.
Oh, absolutely. You must stay at the, it's called them, I think it's C21 Museum Hotel. If you Google in Museum Hotel.
Okay.
This is a new, we stayed there year before last when we went up, and it was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
This couple has these three hotels around the country, and they're called boutique hotels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this one is, if you'll just Google that in, and the good thing about it is, which I liked, it was new, the food there is wonderful as well. You can walk from the hotel, it's about a 10-minute walk through the woods and so forth to the museum.
Okay, great tip. Thank you.
But I think you all makes me want to come and get in your suitcase.
I look forward to it. It's the Walton family,
yes,
behind this whole thing.
Exactly. And it's everything has just been done as far as the museum is concerned. Top notch.
Well, I appreciate the tip. I really look forward to going and seeing it.
Well, I'm going to hear about it when you go there, but be sure and try to stay at this they're called museum hotels.
Okay.
And there are only three of them in the country.
All right.
And this is in the two other parts, Cincinnati, and I've forgotten where the other one is. They've gone in and taken old buildings and converted them to these small
hotels.
Oh, I love
that. That's good, yeah.
This is a new one from the ground up. But it's like no other hotel you've ever, or no other place you've ever stayed before.
That's great stuff. And I'll take a bunch of pictures and put it on in the travel section of DirtDoctor.com like I do on all my trips for everybody, too. But, yeah, I look forward to it. And I'll talk about it on the show. Thanks.
Well, have a good trip.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. And we've got an open line at 866-444-3478, which gives me a, and David, I'll be with you in just a second, but let me go ahead and catch up on this. Tulip trees. Question about that from Margaret. Two kinds of tulip trees out there. One's the true tulip tree, and the other's the tulip tree that's actually a magnolia. There's several different ones in that category. Deciduous magnolias are the Magnolia solangiana and others that have real early spring flowers on bare branches. They are deciduous trees. They're ornamental. They're not huge shade trees. They're terrific. Some bloom, the most common one that you see is the one that has the pink flowers, pink and white flowers in the spring, real early spring. And that's kind of a problem with the tree a little bit. A lot of times they will bloom before anything else blooms, other than maybe winter blooming honeysuckle. And they bloom so early that they'll a lot of times catch a late freeze and it'll foul up the flowers about as fast as they've come out. Some years they're just spectacular. They can get pretty big. There's some in the part of Dallas where I live that are probably 25 feet tall or something. So they're not just tiny little things, but they're not going to be get huge like an evergreen magnolia will, but they are magnolias. So that's one group of tulip trees, and therefore color in the spring primarily. The rest of the year they're so-so, and in the winter their bare stems look like an Althea, Rose of Sharon, or something like that. The true tulip tree is a big shade tree up in Boston, where my buddy arborist Peter Wild is, and people up in, well, all the way up to Maine, all through that whole area, they see tulip trees as they really can grow, gigantic, beautiful things. In Dallas, I showed Peter when he was in town visiting with me once, about a block from my house, I have the Dallas Champion tulip tree, and he was like, well, you don't get very big tulip trees around here, do you? It's big. It's probably 65, 70 feet tall, and pretty. It's been over pruned the last couple of years, unfortunately, but it's a tree that does pretty well if you have deep soil. It likes the deeper, more acid soils of, you know, the Midwest and the Northeast and places like that. But here in Zone 8 across the South, and especially where you have deep soil, it'll do well also. It's even considered to be kind of an overly zealous tree in a lot of areas. It will spread and just kind of take over a forested area in some cases. The leaves, and we've got good pictures of it on our website on DirtDoctor.com, they look like tulips, and the flowers look like tulips too. They're kind of dramatic in the early summer as well. I'll tell you a little bit more about them, and then we'll get back to the phones right after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, don't go away.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you. And I was just trying to put something on Facebook, and I will at the next break. Somebody sent me pictures of chlorotic trees, in other words, yellow red oaks. And it's very clear what the problem is. They are mixed breed trees. They have some pin oak blood in them. And that's a topic that we'll talk about a little bit more. I did some last week, but I'll put the pictures on Facebook so everybody can see what I'm talking about, and it'll go along with what we'll discuss here on the air. We've got some open lines right now if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. David is in Breckenridge, Texas. Hello, David.
Hey, I've got a place that I drilled a water well on, and the chlorides in it are 7,200 parts per million, and it has a neutral pH, and that's about all the information I have. What my concern is, it seems to me like it would be the chloride's too high to water with, but I thought you might could tell me.
Well, that is really high. The thing that we recommend in general for solving those kinds of things, David, is to use the Garrett juice mixture and or the vinegar to neutralize those kind of things. We've written about it. There's some information about it on our website on dirtdoctor.com. But let me ask you this first. Where did you get the water sample that you received, the water analysis?
From a oil field chemical analysis.
Okay. What I might suggest to you is to send another sample. I think it'd be worth the money and the time here down to Texas Plant and Soil Lab down in Edinburgh, Texas. They're into thinking about things from a more natural, organic, not 100%, but more than other testing places are, and see if they would agree with me about injecting things like humates and vinegars and the whole Garrett juice mixture and things like that to make that water usable for your plants and not be a big problem, because lots of chloride in the water is a problem. The first thing we need to figure out is, was the first test accurate? And secondly, what are the other things that there's an imbalance in? Because there probably will be something else imbalanced beside just chloride. When you have one thing that's way out of balance, it generally affects other chemicals and other available nutrients in the water as well.
Okay, well, my chemical guy said, that's pretty high.
Yeah, it is.
saltwater fish can live in 8,000 parts. but he was kind of comparing it to the water, him and his dad water hay out of the Brazos.
Right.
And he said that Brazos River is pretty salty, but he didn't tell me the chlorides on it. But he said it worked great on Sudan and, you know, hay grazers.
Well, some of the Bermuda grasses can take extremely high levels of chlorides and salts in general, but other plants can't, so you don't really want to have that. I'll give you a good example. Lake Texoma has high salt levels, and I was playing a golf course there some years ago, and residential people will send me pictures like this from time to time. There was a line up in the trees that from that point in the tree down, all the leaves were brown. I mean, it was just a hard line across a certain point, and everybody was asking me what it was, and I was scratching my head a little bit at first, and then it dawned on me. That's the line where the sprinkler hit. And the sprinkler goes around
and kill the tree.
Yeah, and it's so strong with salt that it would kill the leaves in the trees. We have neutralized that problem on some developments here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and residential properties too, by simply injecting into the irrigation some mixture of something. And generally, the whole Garrett juice mixture works as well as anything to neutralize the salt problem, the chemical imbalance, and foliar feed and fertilize the soil at the same time.
Okay.
But the best thing to do first would be get another test, and let's just make sure exactly what we're dealing with.
Yes, sir. To Edinburgh, Texas.
Yeah, it's Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They're down there in Edinburgh, and they can help you out. A&L Labs does a similar kind of thing with water. That's another possibility. But I don't know, since I don't know who your fellow used there, it'd be good to get a second opinion.
Right. Well, I didn't want to contaminate the soil with it, because I work in the oil field and I know what that salt water does.
Yep, I've worked a lot with salt too, and it's tough, especially when it gets to a certain point. So let's just neutralize it as we go, and I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
All right.
Well, my only other, this one guy said, "Oh, you need an RO system," but that's so slow to make water.
It's expensive, and the water that you get has all the nutrients taken out of it, all the minerals.
Yeah, it's gone. Yes, sir.
Right.
Well, okay. Well, that helps me quite a bit, sir.
David, get back with me and let me know how it works out for you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Talk to you later. Let's go next to, By the way, I don't think I've mentioned this today. If you go to dirtdoctor.com, you can fill out the form on the homepage and get our newsletter. It's free. It goes out weekly, covers all kinds of different subjects. Also, over on the left-hand side of the homepage, you can see that green button that says the Organic Club of America. That's the membership area of the website, and there's even more benefits and information there for you. So check it all out. Let's go to Rome, Georgia next and talk to Marvin. Hey, Marvin.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Doing very well. What's up?
Well, a couple of years ago, my son and I replanted a wild maple tree. It was small. It was the gold color when it changes the leaves and the colors in the fall.
Okay, that could be several of them, but maple's fine.
It's a maple of some sort anyway. Mm-hmm. But the problem is with it, it doesn't shed its leaves. And it's took hold and grow. It's grown real well. It's probably close to 10 feet. But it holds its leaves just as tight as they had to actually strip them off this spring for, I guess, eventually the new ones would have pushed them off. But it just had a full foliage of dead leaves in the spring.
That's fairly common, Marvin, in red oaks and in maples, too. I have a gorgeous big-tooth maple in our experimental gardens at our office out front, and it's exactly the same way. It holds the leaves, brown leaves, all winter. Some people kind of like that. More people don't like it, I think, than do. What you can do about it is absolutely nothing. That's a genetic thing about the tree, and it either is going to hold the leaves or it's not. And the only way you could change it would be to literally take the tree out and plant one that you've bought in the fall or in the winter, and you see that it did kick its leaves off.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing harmful about the situation to the tree. You're right. When the new leaves start to emerge, it pushes those old leaves off. It's kind of messy because you have to clean up leaves in the fall as well as in the spring, you know, with that situation. But we have to do that with live oaks and with other trees anyway.
That's true. Okay, well, that kind of answered my question. I just thought it strange that it would hold its leaves that tightly.
Nope. Some maples do it, and they do it every year.
Well, thank you, and I really do enjoy your program, my friend.
Appreciate the call, Marvin. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to our friend in Paris, Dottie. What can we do for you today?
It is another one of God's beautiful days.
Well, it is here. We're a little overcast here, but we're going to get any rain, do you?
We've just got all blue sky here.
Do you? Okay, well, that's probably moving this way.
All right. First thing I want to tell you about the China berries, the berries themselves make an absolutely beautiful ornament.
Yeah.
Get them, spray them, sprinkle them with some glitter, and they're great for anything.
Do they hold up, last a long time?
Oh, yes, they do.
Okay, good.
Okay. What do you know about the praying mantis and the hummingbirds?
No.
Okay. I didn't either. My sister called me the other evening, and she said, Dot, if you see praying mantises, kill them. She said, I was watching one out there by my hummingbird feeder, and my daughter came by, and she said, what are you watching? She said, oh, it's a praying mantis. She said, Mother, kill that thing. They kill hummingbirds, they kill the gecko lizards, and they kill frogs. And she said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. She said, go to the internet and do your own research. And that's when my sister called me and told me.
No, they'll eat small animals. There's no question about that. I found a little hummingbird nest on the ground at my house in the backyard a couple of days ago. That's an interesting thing for me to keep an eye out for, because we've had quite a few praying mantids around, too.
She said the way they disable the hummingbirds, because of those pointy fingers they've got on the front of those front legs, they will grab it and stab it through the heart.
Wow.
That's how they
kind of gruesome.
Disable it, yes.
I hate to hear that about, and Malcolm and I even wrote this in the Texas Bug Book. In fact, we had some discussions about that praying mantises would eat whatever was nearby, including bumblebees and honeybees and things like that. Malcolm always tried to argue with me a little bit about it, that they would only attack the sick insects, not the healthy ones. But that's not true. I've seen that myself.
And my sister, when she heard that, and she went looking, and she killed 8 of them out there.
Okay.
And the frogs and the lizards, they jump on them and they literally eat them alive.
Wow.
Now, I have a peach tree that I want to see if you have seen it, heard it. It is about 3 foot tall, about 3 foot wide. It blooms in the spring and it is an intense fuchsia color. And the fruit is delicious. Do you know anything about it? Have you seen it?
Well, no, I don't know what it would be specifically. There's a bunch of dwarf fruit trees of all kind, including peaches. I've got a dwarf peach in my backyard. In fact, now it has kind of a burgundy foliage that is a little droopy.
Flowers.
It almost looks like a mango tree.
The flowers are fuchsia, intense pink fuchsia.
Well, what color is the foliage on yours?
It's just regular green.
Okay. Well, mine, like I said, is kind of a bronzy, kind of a burgundy color, and it blooms really pretty. It's primarily a flowering one, too. But, yeah, there's just dwarf forms of peach trees all over the place.
They're getting ripe now.
Yeah.
I'll send you some of the seeds.
Send me some pictures, too. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day.
You, too. I'll talk to you later. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydrotain. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydrotain. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydrotain. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydrotain is now available to you. Hydrotain allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydrotain or order directly from Hydrotain.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. I got something done that I said I was going to do, which I'm sure surprises a lot of you. I got the two photographs that somebody sent me of chlorotic red oaks on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/thedirtdoctor. And they are chlorotic because they're pin oaks. They are crossbred. It looked like they have a lot of pin oak blood in them. A very, very common problem that we've been dealing with for a long time. Back when I was in the landscape business, far before I got into organics, I was trying to teach people about this problem because red oaks were coming into the Dallas-Fort Worth area and other places in Texas and in the South that were full-blood pin oaks or that were obviously cross breeds with pin oaks, which is probably what the case is in these photographs that I just put on Facebook. And in those situations, if you're in an alkaline soil area, like we are here in Dallas-Fort Worth area with black soil over white rock, or wherever you are in the country, if the soil is alkaline, the pin oak won't work. Pin oak has to be an acid soil. It's just genetically set up that way. And if it's, and the red oaks crossbreed very easily and a lot. And so you have all these different kind of oaks out there that could have northern red oak, southern red oak, the a Penn Oak is the most common crossbreeder because there's so many Penn Oaks over in East Texas where there's acid sandy soil. And in Arkansas and in Oklahoma and various other places up through the Midwest, I mean, it's a great tree. The Penn Oak is a terrific tree if the soil is this, you know, acid, usually sandy situation, but not always. The acid condition is the main thing. I've had people try to convince me that you can amend the soil and treat the tree that's chlorotic and yellow and turn it around, but you can't do it. Now, the there's a lot of giveaways about Penn Oak. The Penn Oak tree tends to have a straight trunk in the center, and then the branches radiating from that. The red oaks that can take alkaline soil tend to have more of a candelabra type of a branching structure. That's one tip. The other tip about Penn Oaks is they tend to have a pointy top and be a more of a Christmas tree shape. You want to see a bunch of those, go look at the trees that are on the new park in downtown Dallas that was built over Woodall Rogers. Those are mixed breed trees badly mixed breed, breeded bred. And they're a problem. And they're not even in the native soil. They're in a manufactured soil, but they're being watered with Dallas City water. So you've got an alkaline situation there. So you've got a problem with water or with soil. The other tips for those of you that are hearing this, and I've been writing about it, and there's a lot of information on my website on dirtdoctor.com about it, but the Penn Oak tree will also have limbs that go out horizontal, and the lower ones will even dip toward the ground. If you have that characteristic on your red oak, it's a problem. They are mixed breed trees, or could even be full blood Penn Oaks. But the last tip is one I didn't even pick up on until the last few years, and it's the dead giveaway. The name Penn Oak came from the little pin stems, twigs that are all along the limbs in the tree. If you look closely, you'll see these little pins. They'll be anywhere from 2 to 3 inches long all over the place. Those are the pins of the Penn Oak, and that means it has to have acid soil. We had a bunch of people on the phone. I guess they got tired of me pontificating here. So we got some open lines for you. They dropped off 866-444-3478. Judy hung around, though, in Mineral Wells, Texas. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
What's up?
I would like to have more information on the almond verbena. My daughter found me one last spring.
Okay.
And I planted it, and I have, I love it.
Isn't it great? The fragrance is just spectacular.
Absolutely. It's about 3 foot tall now.
Okay. Well, it's just getting going. It'll become a big plant. I put a picture of one of our flowers on Facebook a few days ago with one of the little hair-streaked butterflies on there. It will, mine sometimes die all the way to the ground in the winter. In Mineral Wells, you're probably a little colder than we are, Judy, in Dallas. So it might die all the way to the ground, but in almost every case, it'll grow back from the ground. And in some cases, it'll grow as much as 10, 12 feet tall in one growing season.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll get big. The only problem I've seen with them is that sometimes when they die all the way to the ground, like last winter, we had a pretty hard winter. We had a real winter last year, and it killed most of mine. I think one of them got through it, but most of them, it killed them all the way to the ground. And the new growth in the spring came out from the root crown down below ground grade, which means that its flare ended up being too deep in the ground, and you need to remove some soil from it to make it healthy that next growing season. If you had something else, hang on, and I'll talk to you about it off the air. And those of you that want to call and be on the show, it's 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. Our newsletter is free. Just fill out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. And for a lot of you, we'll visit another hour. For those of you that don't get the third hour, listen to the live streaming on dirtdoctor.com. And we'll talk more later about natural, organic gardening, landscaping, pest control, compost making, and health.